Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Antigo to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
That's right, the Sports Q is back on the air on WJJQ. Good Wednesday afternoon. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Hope you're having a great day so far today. Got a jam-packed show for you. Coming up later on today, Packers Radio post-game show host Bill Schmidt will talk about the upcoming Packers season. I make my predictions for NFL Week 1. Also, we'll have Hatchet Head Girl Swim Coach Melissa Neiman stop by to talk about the season. And I will also recap and preview Week 2 of the NCAA season. And let's go ahead and start there, shall we? We're going to start things off with some Badger football. All right, let's get right into it, shall we? So, obviously, the Wisconsin Badgers, they came away with the victory over Buffalo, as I think everyone pretty much expected. They ended up winning 38-17 in that game over the Buffalo Bulls. Let me give you my takeaway from the season opener. I thought the Badgers would go ahead and win by 4 touchdowns in this game. But I honestly believe that, I'm not the only one, but I also believe that Badger fans were ultimately the victim of instant gratification. Like, we expected something to happen, and it took a while. And the one thing I think I forgot to point out, and I think that pretty much every Badger fan forgot to point out, is that it takes time to build chemistry. It took a lot of time to build chemistry. The defense played well throughout the day, but the offense was shaky. Tanner Mordecai had 2 interceptions. They still ran more than they passed. The Badgers' running game was still relevant. They ran the ball really well, which has been their bread and butter. Since essentially Barry Alvarez came in, they ran for over 300 yards in the game. They got over 140 from Ches Malusi and Braylon Allen. They only got 189 yards passing, which, again, I'll get to in a sec. They had 503 total yards. Marcus Allen. I don't think that those two are related. Exactly. So, Ches Malusi had 157 yards, 2 touchdowns. Braylon Allen, 141 yards and 2 scores as well. It was a very good game on the ground. The game broke open with the 89-yard run by Malusi in the third quarter. Again, the defense played well. I will say that. The defense played well. But Mordecai, to me, he looked like he had happy feet. That's not something you can correct. The best thing you can say about Mordecai right now is that he didn't beat himself. He tried to. There were a couple of interceptions. The first one that he had, he threw it late and was behind the receiver. The second one was right into the defender's grasp. Now, here's what I will say. This is only 1 week, so there's still a lot of time to get things corrected. There's no preseason in college football, so you can't essentially, they don't do scrimmages. You can't essentially just sit there and say, well, the Badgers are in trouble. It takes time to build chemistry, and it takes time to build a team, especially with as many transfers the Badgers have put in. Not every team can be Colorado, who, by the way, Deion Sanders deserves a lot of credit for knocking off TCU. However, with pretty much every other team, with a new coach, with a new system, with a new quarterback, with new weapons, with new defensive linemen, it takes time to build that cohesion and that chemistry so that you are able to put your best foot forward out there. Now, again, I was the victim of saying that, oh, the Badgers are going to win this game away because I looked at the talent. I didn't necessarily look at the chemistry. So the thing I will say is all these mistakes that Wisconsin made can be fixed. Now, they committed 3 penalties for just 30 yards. That works. We've always known Wisconsin to be a disciplined team. The turnovers can be fixed. But the big thing to take away is that once tough play begins, once you start getting against these tougher teams in the Big Ten, like Michigan, Ohio State, Iowa, you know, Penn State, who's currently a top 10 team, you are going to need to make better decisions. So, yes, he got picked off twice against Buffalo. If he plays like he did yesterday, he'll get picked off 4 or 5 times against some of the stiffer competition. It can be fixed, but it needs to be fixed quickly. Again, 3 penalties for 30 yards, typical Wisconsin football. And I just have one thing for Wisconsin to say. For these mistakes, clean it up. Clean it up. That's what you got to do. Because if you don't clean up these mistakes, this is going to be another long season. Now, again, it's going to take time to build chemistry. I don't expect Wisconsin to be a championship contender right away. I do think that they'll compete for a Big Ten title or a trip at least to the Big Ten championship game because the East at this point is stacked with Michigan and Ohio State. But you have to get it corrected. And this is Mordecai's senior season. This is his last year in college football. He's got to perform better. Wisconsin has Washington State this Saturday. Do I think they can win this game? Yes. They're currently favored by 6.5. But if Mordecai plays the way he played against Buffalo, against Washington State, the Badgers will not win this game. Because Washington State went into Camp Randall and beat them when Jalen Berger got his revenge last year. The Badgers have got to go into Wazoo and come away with a victory. Kickoff for the Badger game is at 6:30 on ABC. Now that we got the Badgers out of the way, let's go ahead and quickly recap the top 25 scores from last week. Utah knocking off Florida, number 14, 24-11. Colorado Buffalo with one of the biggest upsets of week one, 45-42 over 17th-ranked TCU. Again, kudos to Deion Sanders. Number 25, Iowa over Utah State, 24-14. Number 20, Oklahoma over Arkansas State, 73-0. Number 12, Tennessee over Virginia, 49-13. Number 2, Michigan over East Carolina, 30-3. Number 22, Ole Miss over Mercer, 73-7. Number 15, Oregon putting forth the most points, though, this season, 81-7 over Portland State. Notre Dame knocking off Tennessee State, 56-3. Number 3, Ohio State knocking off Indiana, 23-3. Washington over Boise State, 56-19. Texas over Rice, 37-10. Georgia over Tennessee Martin, 48-7. USC over Nevada, 66-14. Kansas State over Southeast Missouri State, 45-0. Texas A&M over New Mexico, 52-10. North Carolina over South Carolina, 31-17. Penn State over West Virginia, 38-15. 56-7 Alabama over Middle Tennessee State. Tulane over South Alabama, 37-17. Florida State over LSU in a top 5 showdown. Number 8, Florida State, 45. Number 5, LSU, 24. Number 18, Oregon State over San Jose State, 42-17. But the upset of the week was the final game of the week. Number 9, Clemson falls to Duke, 28-7. As a result, TCU has dropped completely out of the top 25. Clemson has dropped all the way to number 25. Week 2 matchups for you very quickly. Notre Dame now up into the top 10. They've got North Carolina State on the road. That gets underway at 11 o'clock on ABC. Number 22, Colorado in Nebraska on Fox. Number 12, Utah, at Baylor, who lost to Texas State on ESPN. Number 7, Penn State at home on Peacock against Delaware. Number 5, Ohio State taking on Youngstown State on the Big Ten Network. Fox Sports 1 has number 15, Kansas State and Troy. Number 1, Georgia's at home against Ball State on the SEC Network. Number 25, Clemson will look for their first win as they take on Charleston Southern on the ACC Network. Number 24, Iowa, takes on Iowa State. Number 23, Texas A&M takes on Miami of Florida. Number 2, Michigan against UNLV. Top 25 matchup for you at 4 o'clock on the Pac-12 Network, on the ESPN2, Number 20, Ole Miss. Number 24, Tulane. Number 9, Washington on the Pac-12 Network against Tulsa. Number 8, Tennessee against Austin Peay. Number 17, North Carolina at home against Appalachian State. Number 18, Oklahoma taking on SMU. Number 21, Duke taking on Lafayette. Top 15 showdown, number 3, Alabama against number 11, Texas on ESPN. Number 13, Oregon at Texas Tech. Number 19, Wisconsin at Washington State. Number 14, LSU against Grambling State. Number 4, Florida State against Southern Miss. Number 16, Oregon State against UC Davis. And number 6, USC against Stanford. Coming up on the flip side of the break, we will have Packers post-game radio show host Bill Schmidt join the show to get his thoughts on the upcoming 2023 campaign. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
The Good Stewart Express features a large selection of hunting products for the fall season. Check out Brian's selection of archery equipment, from crossbows to custom-cut arrows. Choose from a variety of tree stands, the muddy enclosed hunting blind, and ladder stands. ammunition, scopes, deer scents, feeds, hunting clothing, boots, and so much more. Vigoots Do It Express, North 4th Street, Tomahawk, ready for the fall hunting season.
Make sure your furnace is ready for the upcoming Northwoods winter with a Carrier Home Comfort System from Hilge's LP Gas. Bringing comfort to your home is Hilge's LP Gas of Tomahawk's top priority, and with a complete lineup of furnace systems, Carrier and Hilge's are dedicated to improving your quality of life by creating a comfortable, healthy living environment. Remember last winter? Well, yeah, don't wait until the snow flies this year. Get your new Carrier furnace now. Carrier, turn to the experts at Hilge's LP Gas, South Tomahawk Avenue, or Hilge's.com online. Call Hilge's at 453-3505.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hours Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Do you have uncoated concrete? When concrete is left unprotected, moisture can combine with organic particles in the concrete's pores, which can lead to the growth of mold, mildew, and bacteria, which also can lead to negative health outcomes. Wisconsin Coating Specialist offers coatings that seal off pores and prevents moisture from penetrating the surface to provide you with a durable, clean, and beautiful surface for the whole family to enjoy. Call Wisconsin Coating Specialist for your free estimate, 715-298-9533. Wisconsin Coating Specialist, tough and beautiful.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Here in Tomahawk, I currently have on the line a very special guest. He's a post-game radio show host, also a Packers radio morning show host for 97.3 The Game down in Milwaukee. I have Mr. Bill Schmidt on. Bill, thank you very much for joining me.
I appreciate you having me on, man. Let's get after it. It's Bears week. It's game week. This is what we all wait for all throughout the summer, all throughout the winter, all throughout the spring, is to get to everyone's favorite season.
Man, you took the words right out of mouth. You took the words right out of my mouth, Bill. Let's get right into it. So, obviously, you being affiliated with the Packers Radio Network, you have gotten the chance to see this team up close and personal, both in training camp and the preseason. I want to get your take on how this team looks as we head into the 2023 campaign.
I think the easiest answer to it is that they look quite young, right? I think that's the easy answer to the question, that they're quite inexperienced. And we knew that that was going to be the case coming into the 2023. But to watch the way that the team has really come together around their young quarterback, it has been fun to watch. Now, I am a little bit more cynical in this standpoint of, nobody is ever going to tell you before they come into a football season, man, I really hope everybody gets excited to watch us this year. We're not going to be very good, but we're going to have some fun, right? But nobody's ever going to say that. Nobody at this point in the season is going to make a decision or the determination that they don't believe their team is going to be able to play, right? And when you're close to it, when you're in the locker room like these guys are, day in and day out, seeing the growth that all of them have had over the last, you know, 6-7 weeks, and more importantly, probably the last 6 months or so, once it was clear in April that Aaron Rodgers was going to head out east and take over the New York Jets quarterbacking responsibilities, it was going to be different. And this team was going to have a fresh perspective, somebody new under center. And with that, obviously brings so much uncertainty.
Yes.
But I'll say this, Alex, I didn't anticipate this much optimism being a part of it as well.
Okay. So obviously you mentioned Jordan Love earlier, Bill. He, in my opinion, looked pretty good this preseason. There were a few throws that he missed, but that comes with learning how to be a starting quarterback. Do you think he is ready at this point to be the full-time starter for this team?
Yeah, I mean, he's I'll just say it to you this way. When you're drafted in the first round in the NFL, at that moment, you deserve a chance to showcase your ability as a starting quarterback in the NFL. I think the hesitance there for me is, we don't know that he has what it takes to be a continual, long-term starter in the NFL? That's the question that we're all trying to get answered right now. But once they traded up to go from 30 to number 26 and select Jordan Love in the 2021 NFL draft out of Utah State, pardon me, 2020 NFL draft out of Utah State, knowing what that was going to be like, we were still in the midst of the pandemic. Think about it this way as to where life was at that moment. Mm-hmm. They knew they were most likely not going to have training camp.
Right.
Knew that you were most likely not going to be able to get him into a game if all went well until the preseason in 2021. So mm-hmm. that there was a massive amount of development that it was pretty clear coming out of Utah State that Jordan was going to have. He was going to need some time to sit and learn how to really play the position at this level. He is only 25 years old.
Yes.
Sean Clifford might be everyone's favorite stat. I believe Sean Clifford, his backup, is actually older than Jordan Love at this moment. Jordan Love is now into his fourth year in the pros. So mm-hmm. there's a natural growth process that he's going to have from just playing football again. I mean, he has not started consecutive games since 2019. That brings a whole lot of just growth that you can have week in and week out, learning from your own mistakes, watching your own film, feeling that out, and then taking it to the practice field, taking it to the game field. I think he's going to have to prove that to all of us, and I'll have to see it through, you know, week in and week out, but at least quietly in that locker room and up at 1265 Lombardi Avenue, it appears that Jordan has showcased enough to everybody in there that they believe he's going to be able to do it throughout the 17-game season and hopefully beyond.
Again, talking here with Packer postgame radio show host and host of 97.3 The Game with John Kuhn, by the way, Bill Schmidt from the Packers Radio Network. Bill, let's go ahead and take a bit of a big look at the NFC North here. We take a look at the Bears. They've improved, but by how much? There's still a big question mark. Minnesota's lost a few key pieces. Za'Darius Smith going to Cleveland. Adam Thielen is now in Carolina. Dalvin Cook with the Jets. And Detroit, even though they're potent offensively, their defense is still a huge question mark. How much of a chance, in your opinion, does Green Bay have to make the postseason, if not maybe even win the division?
So I think if they're going to make the postseason, obviously win the division is the easiest way in, right? You've got to be one of four, and then you get to host the playoff game. And I believe the division potentially does get two teams in. I think the division is going to be really competitive. I don't believe any team out of the NFC North, like in 2022, is going to own the number one overall pick, right? I don't believe they're going to have the worst team in football
right
in their division again this year. Mm-hmm. I think the Bears are going to be improved. I think the Packers are in that group of teams that can really tip on a couple of games. And what I mean by that is, you know, 9-8 looks a whole lot different than 6-11.
Yes.
And those three or four results can happen right, watching the NFL, we know in a matter of about 9 or 10 plays.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where I suspect at this moment they are. I think Detroit is maybe a step above from a continuity standpoint. They're also extremely young, mm-hmm. but their young players have a whole lot of starting experience from mostly all through last year as well, and a holdover head coach, a holdover at quarterback with Jared Goff. I personally am one... and just talked about it today on the radio show, that I still think the Minnesota Vikings are the best team in the division. I think they have the best quarterback in the division. I think they have the best tight end. I think they have the best wide receiver in the division. And I think they made the biggest and most impactful addition on the defensive side of the football in this offseason, which was bringing in Brian Flores to be their defensive coordinator, take over for former Packers defensive coordinator Mike Patton up there, and bring in a little bit of a fresh perspective at what they were doing defensively. I think they have some nice players on that side, but schematically it wasn't it, and we've seen the holes in the Mike Patton defense for quite some time.
Yes, we have.
A little bit more aggressive, and I think that's going to be big for Minnesota. Do I believe that they're going to win the division as going away as they did in 2022? No, I don't think they're celebrating with division championship hats and T-shirts under their Christmas trees like they did last season. But I believe they wrap it up there, maybe the second to last or last week of the season.
Okay, so let's go ahead and focus now on this Packer rookie class specifically. Lot of young players coming in. You got Lucas Van Ness, Jaden Reed, Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft coming in. You also have a few late-round picks that have really turned some heads. Dontavian Wicks, Grant DuBose, specifically on the offensive side. Why don't you give me a couple of rookies that you are in the camp of thinking of making a huge impact this season?
I'll give you two that are not right near the top of everyone's radar, and they'd be on the defensive line. I think Carl Brooks and Colby Wooden have a chance to play some rather significant snaps for the Packers here in 2023, and both during the preseason looked like they can be NFL players at that position. Now, they were going up against primarily backup offensive linemen. I get that when you're talking about preseason football, but Carl Brooks, coming from a smaller school, came from Bowling Green. All he did in college was get off of blocks and harass quarterbacks in the backfield. And it seemed like he's got the slipperiness at that spot, the ability to get off and shed blockers that hopefully is going to translate a little bit better than most would anticipate. That's why he went in the fifth round and hadn't necessarily showcased it against the best athletes in the MAC there. Colby Wooden, on the other hand, played in the SEC, comes from Auburn, big physical guy. I think they have a lot of snaps available there on the defensive line, and I think both of them are going to be factors coming in later on into the year and trying to get after the quarterback. But from a wide receiver perspective, Jaden Reed, and potentially more than we would have liked, as Matt LaFleur alluded to and talked about today,
yeah.
No Romeo Doubs, no Christian Watson.
Yeah.
At Packers practice here on Wednesday. So, Jaden Reed, step on up. Let's have some fun. You're going to be maybe the number one when you're talking in the wide receiver room. And Luke Musgrave, those two second-round picks, who they grab, I believe, at 43 and 50, respectively, in this last year's draft. Both are going to be big-time contributors. They have to be on the
yes.
offensive side of the ball, because both of them are going to start. Both of them are going to be on the field a ton. And I think both of them are going to see the football a lot already coming up in week one.
Bill, I had the opportunity to talk to Jaden Reed also after the Pack preseason finale against Seattle this couple Saturdays ago. And he spoke essentially of how the receiving core and the tight end room are growing together as a unit. I'm really looking forward to him to making an impact in his hometown coming up this Sunday.
Yeah, and he's an exciting player to watch, man, too. And a lot of people... right, we're Packers fans, also Badgers fans. Remember watching Jaden Reed give Ricardo Holman the business up in East Lansing last
yes.
year. He reminds me, and I don't know what you think about this comp, man, is a little Steve Smith Sr.-esque. The seniors in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
But that's an interesting comp.
He's a little bit larger than his size, especially aggressively going on up and grabbing the ball.
Okay, that's an interesting comp. I understand what you're saying about that. I don't know if I necessarily agree with it, but I do see the comparison between the two.
Yeah, really, you know, smaller in stature, but great at the point of attack.
Mm-hmm.
And Jaden Reed also said, you're really going to know my value once he starts returning punts, which I know Packer fans are going to like.
There you go.
Keyshawn Nixon carved it out in the kick return game. Punt return could also be a spot where you can get a little bit better.
There you go. So let's go ahead. Hard to believe that the NFL season begins tomorrow with Kansas City and Detroit. This upcoming Sunday, the Packers open the season in Soldier Field against the Bears. No better way to open up the season, Bill, as you mentioned here. What does Green Bay need to do to get the win on Sunday?
They really need to take care of the football. I think that's the number one key to victory. In every one of the 17 games they'll play in 2023, Jordan led the FBS, Bowl Football Subdivision for Bowls, formerly known as D1A in college football, in all of interceptions in 2019. And it was one thing that was going to have to be clear that he cleaned up coming into the National Football League was decision-making and finding opportunities to take risks, still have a little gunslinger mentality, but also take care of the football. They win the turnover battle. I think they'll beat Chicago coming up on Sunday. I think, however, and this is where get a little bit of a caveat here, we go back to what the Packers did at Soldier Field in week 15, I believe, a year ago, and Justin Fields was 5 carries for almost 100 yards on the ground,
yes.
including a 55-yard touchdown.
Yep.
He only ran the ball two more times early,
yep,
limiting him in the ground game. That's going to be paramount for them, being able to get off the field defensively, because as much as Justin Fields has struggled maybe through the air in his NFL career, and you and me both know he's one of the most dynamic runners at that position.
He definitely
and
is.
Something the Packers defense has generally struggled with when the quarterback really breaks up out of the pocket.
You're going to have to put spies on him. You're going to have to put at least one or two spies on him in order to keep him intact.
Yeah, probably where Quay Walker really comes into the mix.
There you go.
And factors in nicely there on Sunday.
All right, again, Bill Schmidt from 97.3 The Game down in Milwaukee. Be sure to check out his show from 9 to noon as he co-hosts with John Kuhn. Also, he will be the familiar voice that you hear on the Packers post-game radio show on the Packers Radio Network this season. Bill, thank you very much for joining me.
Had a great time, man. Really appreciate you having me on call anytime.
Absolutely. Bill Schmidt, thank you very much once again. Coming up after the break, we'll take a look at some hatchet highlights from this past football victory over Kingdom Prep. This is the Sports Q here on WJJQ.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboards serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Yes, we will have those hatchet highlights for you. Those will actually come on the other side of the CBS News update that we'll have in just a few seconds here. Coming up also on the second half, I'll be making my week one NFL predictions. Tomahawk Hatchet Girls Swim Coach Melissa Neiman will stop by to talk about the season and what to expect from the girls as they start to head deep into the campaign. And also, I'll be talking about the Brewers and what they need to do to close things out. They did lose their series to the Pirates. How does that impact their National League Central Division champions? That's all coming up on the second half of the Sports Q here on WJJQ. You're tuned in to Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. It's 63 degrees under overcast skies here at our Northwoods studios. And it is just about 6 o'clock. Time for CBS News.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Convicted killer Danilo Cavalcante is still on the run in Pennsylvania, and we are finally learning how he escaped. Acting warden Howard Holland says it was the same path another inmate used to bust out of that same prison back in May.
Cavalcante escaped at the same location as Igor Bolt, but for Cavalcante, there was razor wire to contend with before reaching the roof.
But the razor wire didn't stop him, and neither did a prison guard who was supposed to be watching the yard. Residents who live nearby still on high alert.
As time goes on, he gets more and more desperate, so you never know what he's going to do.
Federal prosecutors are now going after President Biden's son.
Hunter Biden has been under investigation in Delaware on gun and tax charges, and that state's U.S. Attorney David Weiss was just named special counsel in the case last month. A plea deal for Hunter Biden over two misdemeanor tax charges and a felony gun offense fell apart in July over whether the president's son could avoid future criminal charges. Defense attorneys for Hunter Biden argue that an agreement sparing him from prosecution on the gun charge remains in place. Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
Meantime, prosecutors in Georgia say their RICO case could take 4 months when it goes to court in Fulton County. But legal analyst Jessica Levinson says a judge rejected requests today to separate two of those defendants.
I think what he's doing is he's looking at the RICO statute. He's looking at the applicable case law. He's really saying, why do we want to try this over and over again?
Kenneth Chesbrough and former Trump campaign attorney Sidney Powell face charges next month. A judge in Texas has ordered state officials to move a controversial buoy barrier along the Rio Grande. It's intended to block migrants from crossing the border illegally, but the Biden administration sued the state, saying it violates human rights. In Texas and really all over the South, Northeast, and Mid-Atlantic, people are trying to beat the heat.
Really hot. Really hot.
It's brutal. I think the best way to put it. It's not fun to be outside.
They're in Baltimore, where temps hit 97 today. Air travel is bouncing back. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg talked to CBS News and says Labor Day numbers were higher than both spring and early summer.
We're very encouraged to see these very low rates of disruption, but don't feel like we're out of the woods in terms of things that need to continue changing and improving in the aviation sector.
He says we're still far from those pre-pandemic levels. Conagra's recalling more than 245,000 pounds of its Banquet brand frozen chicken strips because they say it may contain pieces of plastic. They have best if used by dates of December 2024 and early January 2025. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
At Fisher Investments, our clients know we have their backs.
How do your clients know that?
Because Fisher Investments is a fiduciary, the highest standard for a financial advisor. It means we're there for our clients and always put their interests first.
So wait. You do it because you have to?
No, we do it because it's the right thing to do. Our clients trust us with their retirement savings, and we know how important that responsibility is. So we take the time to really get to know them.
Get to know them how?
We make sure we understand their unique goals, finances, health, family, and lifestyle, so we can tailor their portfolio to their specific needs. Our goal is to help them achieve a comfortable retirement.
Sounds like a big responsibility. You must make big commissions then, right?
No, we don't sell commission-based products. We have one single transparent fee that's structured so we do better when our clients do better. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you are switching to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
It's official.
Don't get angry with me.
The Rolling Stones are releasing their first album of new music in 18 years.
Angry is the first single from our new album called Hackney Diamonds, which is why we're in Hackney, which comes out in October the 20th.
80-year-old Mick Jagger and his 70-something bandmates Keith Richards and Ron Wood spoke to The Tonight Show's Jimmy Fallon on YouTube from the Hackney Theater in North London.
It's like when you get your windscreen broken on Saturday night in Hackney, all around and all the bits go on the street. Yeah.
Mick says the new disc includes love songs, ballads, and country tunes. Two songs feature the late Charlie Watts on drums. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Oh, baby, last night we let the liquor talk.
Well, first Spotify and now Billboard says Last Night by Morgan Wallen is the song of the summer. It's the first time a country song's been chosen in decades. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio News Time, 6.05 p.m. Good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook. You're tuned into the Sports Q. We'll get right back into it after our weather forecast.
The forecast for the Northwoods. Wow, today we have been cold, cloudy, and breezy, with highs only hitting into those mid to upper 60s with a brisk northwest wind at 15 miles per hour. As we progress through the night, cloudy skies stay in place with patchy drizzle possible. Lows will hit 49 degrees alongside a breezy wind up to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, unfortunately, remain cloudy and chilly. Highs only climbing to 63 degrees with breezy north winds at 15. But by tomorrow night, finally, some clearing takes place, and that's going to drop our lows down to a low of 42. Stay warm, my friends. I'm WJJQ meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you. This is a little bit of my own personal taste. See, the thing is that with me, yes, I do love listening to the music that's on here, but I'm a rock and metal head at heart, so nothing wrong with adding a little bit of Metallica. Let's get to those hatchet highlights, shall we? Well, Tomahawks football squad took on Kingdom Prep down in the water park capital of the world, Wisconsin Dells, this past Friday. Kingdom Prep, for those of you that don't know, it's completely okay if you don't. They are a newer school located in Wauwatosa. Their football program is about 5 years old. They had their first winning season down there this year, this past year. And the two teams met as Tomahawk was able to find an opponent to replace Northland Pines, who's now gone to JV, and boy, Tomahawk's offense did not stop. It was scoreless through the first quarter, and then Braden Larson came into action. And wing back Jonah Dickens is out to the left. First play of the second quarter begins with Rex Riley taking the snap, rolls out to the right, fires to the end zone, leaping grab in the middle of the end zone. Braden Larson, touchdown, Tomahawk!
Well, that was a dart. He had to put some heat on that ball. He threaded the needle between two defenders.
Scott Nye joining me with the broadcast. Again, Rex Riley to Braden Larson. That made the score 7-0 with Wally Horobic knocking through the extra point. And now, with Tomahawk would get the ball back, Jonah Dickens would get a great punt return, and that would set up his brother Caleb with this run.
Second down and about six coming up from the 11. Two receivers out to the left. Riley's going to take handoff. Caleb Dickens up the middle. Lot of hole in front of him. Caleb Dickens running in untouched. Touchdown, Tomahawk. Caleb Dickens with an 11-yard run. 13-0 Hatchets. 9:57 to go, second quarter.
Boy, the eyes were in the deep backfield, and Dickens, all of a sudden, the ball was in his belly right after the snap, and nobody touched him until about the goal line. Nice play and carved out well right through the heart of the defense for the Wolfpack.
And again, the extra point would be blocked there from Wally Horobic. That would make the score 13-0. Tomahawk Kingdom Prep would then have the ball late in the first half. They had a fourth down and 10 at the 12-yard line. Braden Larson with the interception to take it back to the 43. And four plays later, it was the Larson combination to end the half.
Riley under center on second down. They'll pitch it to Braden Larson. Larson's going to throw it downfield. Wide open. It is caught. Ryan Larson. Touchdown, Tomahawk. Braden to Ryan on the halfback pass for 22 yards, and the Hatchets go up 19-0.
There's the advantage of having a second quarterback.
There
in
you
essence,
go.
Because, again, Larson took a lot of snaps at quarterback the first couple of weeks of the season. You mentioned that they made the flip with him and Riley quarterback and kind of halfback. The week before the Rhinelander game, you saw them try that play last week unsuccessfully,
yes.
But that time again, the Wolfpack bought it completely. All he had to do was get it over that last defender who was not even within 5 yards of Larson. He secured it, and there is a big bomb late.
And they would convert the two-point conversion, making it 21-0 at halftime. Tomahawk Kingdom Prep would come and get the touchdown on their first possession of the third quarter. And then the Hatchets would respond right back, this time Jonah Dickens getting in on the action.
Tomahawk now with a second down, and they'll call it about 9 here from the 9. This time Riley's in the shotgun. Two receivers out to the right, and Jonah Dickens is going to go in motion. Direct snap to Jonah Dickens off the right side. He cuts back inside the 5. Dickens with a juke. He is into the end zone. Touchdown, Tomahawk. Jonah Dickens with a 9-yard touchdown run. His first of the night. It's 27-6. Tomahawk 2:28 to go, third quarter.
I'm not sure it was designed to be a direct snap, because Dickens got there. You saw a couple of helmets turn, and all of a sudden the snap came, and there's Dickens right in front of Riley. Yep, my ball.
Yep, there you go. I mean, just how they drew it up, right?
Like you said, sometimes it pays to be, you know, Johnny on the spot.
Again, that would make the score 29-6. They would convert the two-point conversion. Kingdom Prep would get one more score in the fourth quarter to make it 29-14. And then the Hatchets would seal the deal with this 5-yard run from Braden Larson.
Riley with 137 total yards so far tonight. Caleb Dickens, 11 touches for 80 yards tonight and a touchdown. Riley this time under center I formation. Receiver out to the right, that's Germano. Riley takes handoff. Braden Larson up the middle. And Larson will go pretty much untouched into the end zone. Touchdown, Tomahawk. Braden Larson with a 5-yard run. Third score of the night for Braden. And it is now 35-14, 5 minutes to go in the game.
And that did definitely seal the deal. Braden Larson with a big night, by the way, 97 total yards and 3 touchdowns on the night. He also had 2 interceptions defensively. Needless to say, if I'm Braden Larson,
it's good to be king.
Because he was definitely the star of the night for the Hatchets. Tomahawk now 3-1, if you include the forfeit loss to Northland Pines. They're going to be taking on Crannon to begin Northwoods Football Conference play this upcoming Friday. Again, Matt Turkowitz is going to join me in the broadcast booth. Fairman Orthodontics Coach's Show begins at 6:35. Kickoff at 7 o'clock from Hatchet Field in Tomahawk. We're going to take a break. Coming up on the other side, we got Tomahawk Hatchet Girls Swim Coach Melissa Neiman on to talk about the upcoming season. Later on, I'll be making my picks for NFL Week 1, and I will also figure out what to expect for the Brewers as we start to head into September baseball. You're tuned into the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC.
Find sugar, spice, and everything nice blended into Dairy Queen's Snickerdoodle Cookie Dough Blizzard. While this flavor is a hit year-round, something about fall calls for a cinnamon sugar combo. Brought back by popular demand, this limited-time treat mixes chewy chunks of Snickerdoodle cookie dough and flavors of cinnamon and sugar into their world-famous vanilla soft serve. There's a reason why this is a top-requested flavor. Dairy Queen, open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., located on North 4th Street, overlooking the Wisconsin River.
Bremen Merrill Ford makes your next buying experience easier than you think with their massive inventory. Start your easy shopping experience online with Bremen Merrill Ford's large inventory of trucks, cars, and SUVs. New inventory updated daily with plenty of pictures, payment estimators, and a very handy trade-in appraisal tool. Bremen Merrill Ford's recent expansion and remodel has allowed for an even easier buying experience. Additional service tech stalls, additional detailing bays, and an overall larger lot allows them to offer more fully inspected and completely reconditioned pre-owned vehicles. Bremen Merrill Ford also makes your buying experience easier than you think because of their top-rated sales staff that can answer all your questions while giving you the time and space you deserve while making a purchase. Come see why everyone is saying it's so easy to find their next vehicle at Bremen Merrill Ford. Exit 211 South Merrill. Online at BremenMerrillFord.com.
It's easier than
Foley's Tree Service, caring for your trees since 1980. This is Ted Foley, ISA certified arborist and second generation family owner. Our employees are trained and educated professionals who respect your property as if it was their own. Whether it is tree removals, pruning, stump grinding, lot and land clearing, tree preservation, or even storm damage cleanup, we are here when you need us. Call us at 715-453-2407 or for our Monaco listeners, 715-358-2406. Check us out online at foleystreeservice.com. Foley's Tree Service, fully insured and offering free estimates.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with me. And welcoming into the Sports Q for the first time this year is Tomahawk Head Hatchet Girl Swim Coach, Miss Melissa Neiman. Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you to WJJQ for their continued support of Tomahawk Hatchet Athletics.
Well, that is great. Melissa, let's go ahead. Let's jump right into it. No questions asked. First of all, I do want to ask, because you've had a few weeks of practice right now, you've got a couple of meets under your belt. I want to know, how does the team look so far to begin the season?
We're looking really good. I don't want to say too much, but the girls are swimming so well. Where our returning swimmers are within 1 second of their personal best time already within a month of the season. I was really excited to see that. We swam so well against Mosinee. But swimming for a month into the season, we've been swimming. We started August 8th, so we're at, let's see, we were swimming 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, some two-a-days. Our girls are getting tired. I gave them Monday off to enjoy this beautiful weekend we have.
Yes.
But we're starting to see that they're tired. But that's where we want them to be right now so we can push through it.
Yeah, need a recharge, right?
Oh, we need a recharge. Monday was a great recharge day.
Yep, there you go. So let's go ahead. You reverted, obviously, to the Mosinee meet. That was this past Sunday, this past Thursday, a huge, huge meet win. What impressed you the most, though, about that particular meet on Thursday?
The girls swam really well. I was very impressed. The big thing I saw is that, they were having fun with it. I was really expecting a lot of nerves with the first swim meet. But, man, there was a lot of laughter and having fun. It's what we trained to do when we started August 8th. We've been really pushing the girls and testing their limits, and they showed up. The girls were having a great time. Our new swimmers, our freshmen, Dorian Steffen swam the 500, and it was beautiful. It was such a race to see. Yeah, it was just a great meet. It was really close. We weren't sure through the whole meet who was going to win it, and we came through on the end.
That definitely is great to hear. Again, talking with Melissa Neiman, head Hatcher Girls Swim Coach. Melissa, let's go ahead and talk very briefly about probably one of your star seniors, Paige DeKeep. Obviously, she made the state meet, obviously, last year. How has her progress been from last year to this year so far?
Paige has worked really hard. She was second runner-up in the 100 fly last year at the state meet, and that is driving her. That's her driving force. She really wants to see that podium. She wants to do better, and she can. So all summer, she's been swimming two-a-days in the pool and at the lake. So, in the Northwoods, why would we not?
Of course, right?
So it's really amazing to see her drive. It inspires the other swimmers. They're really pushing themselves watching her. So she's been an excellent leader. I expect a lot of great things out of her this year.
That's great. And you mentioned Paige, also your other senior, Maddie List. How have those two embraced being senior leaders this year?
It's a whirlwind. When you start your senior year, you try not to think about this is it. So we've been pushing them, don't think about this being the end, but we're going to finish strong. Maddie List is swimming really well. She's suffering an injury right now that we're working through. We have her going with the new trainer, who's been amazing, but she's still swimming really strong for what she can do with a swimmer's shoulder. We all suffer it, but, when you're swimming as hard as we're swimming and scooping ice cream, that can play an effect. But I'm really proud of her for pushing through the injury that she has. She was within a second of her best time again. So what we're doing is working.
You got me thinking sweets now.
I know, right?
Donuts.
Figured you would like that. Again, talking with Hatchet head girl swim coach Melissa Neiman. Melissa, now as the season is underway, what are you looking for from this particular team?
My motto with them this whole season has been improve versus prove. I just want them to enjoy their swim season, have fun. Remember why we all started swimming is because we love the sport. But our big goal is to improve. I'm not thinking about conference. I had an interview with, I think it was the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and they were, I'm not thinking about conference. I'm not thinking about state. I'm thinking about tomorrow.
Yes.
Each girl's day by day. I mean, we're swimming fast. We're swimming strong, and I'm trying to keep them uplifted because we're working really, really hard.
I believe that you are. Let's go ahead and talk briefly about your next meet. You've got Antigo tomorrow,
yes.
Another great Northern Conference rival. This is also the school, by the way, that's hosting the swimming conference tournament at the end of the season.
Yes, and it's a meter pool, which, we swim yards. We're not, the girls are kind, that's on their brain is about this meter pool, the slight difference in the distance that they're swimming. Again, we're not thinking about it.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, what are you looking for from this particular meet coming up tomorrow?
I'm looking for, I'm introducing my 4x100 relay tomorrow. We have not swam that 4x100 relay yet. I have four girls that I've been pushing really hard. And, there are days where they look at me like, seriously, what are you doing to me? You're killing me. I have this, I have Morgan Kretschmar, Paige DeKeep, Emma Hoff, and Kaylee Roberts, who's a freshman. We're going to try this 4x100 relay tomorrow and see what happens.
Again, it's still the beginning of the season, so this is the opportunity to try new things,
right? We're trying new things, and a lot of the girls are going to be trying new things. Paige will be swimming the 100 fly tomorrow.
That is great.
And Dorian and I back in swimming the 500, see if we can improve that time, which I know they will. They're going to do amazing.
Yeah, and Hatchet Girls Swimming takes on Antigo tomorrow. That gets underway at 5:30 right here at the Hatchet Pool. Go out and support Tomahawk Girls Swim. Melissa Neiman, thank you very much for joining
me.
Absolutely. Coming up after the break, I'll be making my picks for NFL Week 1 on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
With the fall season here, make sure that you're on schedule with all of those projects you want to complete. And remember, Tomahawk Builders Supply is here to help. They are open Monday through Saturday to handle the needs of our Northwoods residents. At Tomahawk Builders Supply, you will find everything you need, including lumber, cabinets, countertops, windows and doors, flooring, siding, roofing materials, and Benjamin Moore paint. Whatever your building needs, the friendly and knowledgeable building experts and staff will be pleased to help you make sure your building project will be a success. Tomahawk Builders Supply is here for you today, just as they have been for the last 48 years.
located at 120 North Railway Street, downtown Tomahawk. Call 453-2757.
Better begins with human kindness. It's in a smile, a listening ear, a helping hand. At Aspirus Health, better begins with knowing you and your family, learning your health journey and your health needs. Aspirus caregivers are here to listen and provide the personalized care you deserve. For when you need to be better, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence. Compassion for people.
Premier Heating and Cooling, your local Lennox dealer, wants to make people feel comfortable in their homes and businesses. Lennox makes the air cooler, warmer, drier, cleaner, and better with innovative systems that are exceptionally quiet and energy efficient to save you money. Ask about the buy one and get one free special on a Wi-Fi enabled thermostat with the qualifying purchase of a heating and cooling unit. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700 for a free estimate for your Lennox heating and air conditioning needs and great service after the sale with special protection plan memberships available. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling, serving customers from Weston to Woodruff and locations in between. Call 453-4700, online at premierheatingcooling.com, or their showroom at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you. Thank you very much to Melissa Neiman for joining me on today's show. And now it's time to get right back into it. It is time to make some predictions, shall we? Let's go ahead and make some picks for NFL Week 1. Here we go. Let's do this. All right, so NFL Week 1 predictions are here. Again, Week 1 kicks off with the Thursday night game tomorrow as the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs take on the Detroit Lions. What I'm looking for in this particular game is the Kansas City Chiefs to essentially assert their dominance. They have won 9 straight season openers, and Patrick Mahomes has not lost in Week 1, so that leads me to believe that the Chiefs are going to win. I do think that the Lions will show up offensively, especially since Kansas City is probably going to be without Chris Jones for Week 1. I expect the Chiefs to win by 7. Now we get to the Sunday games. By the way, Detroit-Kansas City, that will also be broadcast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ tomorrow night. Now, let's go to the Sunday game, shall we? Got Tampa Bay and Minnesota. Baker Mayfield making his Tampa Bay debut. Minnesota Vikings, they are going to be, you know, still pretty good with that combo of Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson in the mix. I expect the Vikings to win. I think that Tampa Bay will struggle with Mayfield at quarterback. Vikings win by 10. San Francisco traveling out to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Steelers expected to be a playoff contender again this year. And to see how much Kenny Pickett is going to thrive as a starter of Pittsburgh, San Francisco is likely going to be starting Brock Purdy Week 1. I got the Niners winning 27-17. Congratulations, by the way, to Nick Bosa on getting a 5-year long-term deal taken care of. He's now the NFL's highest paid defensive player. Thank you. Congratulations to Nick. Now let's go to Arizona and Washington. I expect the Arizona Cardinals to be one of, if not the worst teams in the NFL this year. I don't think that the Commanders will be much better, but I do believe that they will be better than Arizona this year. I got the Commanders winning by 9. We got Jacksonville and Indianapolis, an AFC South showdown. Anthony Richardson makes his starting quarterback debut for the Indianapolis Colts against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who surprised a lot of people winning the South last year. They also ended up going on to the divisional round where they lost to Kansas City. I think the Jaguars will handle their business. I do think the Colts will show up. It depends on if Jonathan Taylor plays or not. I got Jacksonville winning by 10. Now let's go to New Orleans and Tennessee, the Saints and the Titans. A new quarterback at the helm in New Orleans and Derek Carr. For Tennessee, you have a new stud wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins at the helm. I think the Saints will get the victory. I think it'll be a very close game. I think Ryan Tannehill will perform well against that Saints defense, even though I think it'll be better than it was last year. I got the Saints winning by 4. Now we got Atlanta and Carolina, and another NFC South showdown, a divisional showdown. I think the Falcons will win the game 21-20. I think Bryce Young will perform well against that Atlanta defense, and I also believe that the Panthers will be a force to be reckoned with this season, but I also believe that the Falcons are just a better team overall. So I think the Falcons will win 21-20 ultimately here in week one. Now, it's time for my bold pick of the week.
It's a bold strategy, Todd. Let's see if it pays off for them.
I am going to take the Cleveland Browns to knock off the Cincinnati Bengals in week one. Here is why. Browns have won 8 of the last 10 games against Cincinnati. They have won the last 5 at home. I got Cleveland winning in an upset 28-27. Baltimore taking on new Houston quarterback C.J. Stroud in the week one showdown. I have the Ravens winning this game. I think that Lamar Jackson will be an MVP candidate this year. I also believe that the Houston Texans will be a little bit better than they are last year. Then again, you can't get much further up than they were last year. I think the Ravens win by 17. Rams in Seattle, NFC West rivalry to begin week one for them. Rams will be having Matt Stafford back. Seattle obviously was the biggest surprise in the NFL last year with Geno Smith and a renaissance that he had with this particular team. I think that ultimately the Rams will win. I think the Seahawks will put up quite a bit of a fight. I think the Rams win by 6, potentially in overtime. Denver and Las Vegas, an AFC West showdown at Mile High Stadium in Denver. New sheriff in town, Sean Payton taking over as head coach of the Broncos. And again, a new quarterback for the Raiders in Jimmy Garoppolo. I think the Broncos will win by 2. I think the Broncos will finish ahead of the Raiders in the AFC West. Philadelphia and New England, the defending NFC champions, travel out to Foxborough to take on Bill Belichick and the Patriots. I think the Eagles will end up winning the game. I do think that New England will put up a bit of a fight, but I think the Eagles will win by 7. Chargers and the Dolphins, Justin Herbert and Tua Tagovailoa, 2 of the top 10 quarterbacks selected in the 2020 NFL draft, go toe-to-toe. I think that both teams are going to be right there in the mix for the postseason, but I think the Chargers are just a slightly better team because of how well they play defensively. I got the Chargers winning by 4. Packers-Bears, will have that broadcast for you here on WJJQ. I think the Packers will get the Bears this time. Again, you heard Bill Schmidt say they have to win the turnover battle, but I think it'll happen. Packers end up beating the Bears by 3. Cowboys and the Giants, NFC showdown on Sunday night. Again, we'll have that broadcast for you also on WJJQ. I think that the Giants will come back down to earth a little bit this year, and I think the Cowboys will win by 7. And then the Monday night showdown, you got Aaron Rodgers and the Jets taking on their heated rivals Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. I think the Jets will get the better of the Bills this time, and they win 30-24 at home. Again, we'll have that Monday night broadcast also for you on WJJQ. Those are my NFL Week 1 predictions. Be sure to go ahead and enter in our Pro Prediction Contest at WJJQ.com underneath the Local Sports drop-down tab. And there's your Week 1 predictions. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk some Brewers baseball after this. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Deb from Tomahawk has chosen Health and Motion as her provider, and she said they're a godsend.
When we moved up here to Tomahawk, I developed plantar fasciitis, which I didn't know who to go to, so I went to Dr. Whitney, and she cured that right away. Another year later, my back went out, and again, I went to Dr. Whitney. She said, let's try dry needle therapy, and I don't like needles, but I said, okay, because I couldn't even walk. She did the dry needle therapy on me, and I immediately felt the release of pain. She just does an awesome job. She's a godsend. I just can't say enough about Dr. Whitney and Health in Motion. And Matt's there, Stephanie's there. But I go mainly to Dr. Whitney, and she usually can fit me right in because I guess I'm such a good patient.
So come on, choose Health in Motion for you.
Call Health in Motion in Tomahawk at 453-6650 or himwi.com.
The Auto House in Tomahawk is your trusted destination for top-of-the-line vehicles and exceptional service. They're here to help you get ready for fall and winter driving season, and yes, it's that time of year. With a rich history, Gary and his Auto House family have been offering service to our Northwoods communities for over 40 years, and you're invited to check out the Auto House inventory with the best selection of vehicles in the area. Cars, trucks, SUVs, there's over 40 units to choose from. That makes your journey to find the perfect vehicle enjoyable, and more importantly, stress-free. If you need a temporary ride, Gary has you covered with a selection of rental vehicles, and if you need service on your existing vehicle or to get it ready for fall and winter driving, make an appointment with the ASC certified technician at the Auto House, doing business the right way. The Auto House on North 4th Street in Tomahawk, online at autohousecars.net. That's AutoHouseCars.net. Remember, Milo's waiting to greet you at the Auto House in Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on a Wednesday evening. It's just about 6:30. It's time to talk some baseball for you. Let's go ahead and dive into the Brewers.
Here it comes. And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it up.
All right, so as we go ahead and dive into the Brewers, let's go ahead and quickly go over. They won the series over Philadelphia, which is huge. It was a much-needed series win. Right now, at this moment in time, the focus for the Brewers at this point is to just win series. Don't worry about sweeps. And the one thing I've noticed, even though they did lose their series to the Pittsburgh Pirates, their lead, by the way, is now down to a game and a half on the Cubs. They're still five games up on the Reds, who have Seattle currently going underway. Their current record is 77-62, which is good. It's very good. The one thing I'm noticing with this Brewers team this year, we typically see the Brewers win with home runs. Big bombs from Rowdy Tellez, Christian Yelich, Willie Adames, and William Contreras as well this year. They're winning with small ball. And it could be because of the fact that they've had so many new faces in that they focus on them is to just get runs across the plate. But the fact that they're focusing on small ball and getting key hits when it matters most in games is definitely a good sign. Timely hitting is what will win you games in the postseason. Now, let's go to the series against Philadelphia. The Phillies are a very, very good team. They are a very strong offensive team. Their pitching staff leaves a lot to be desired, in my opinion. You do have a couple of good starters, but I don't know how good they're going to hold up against some of the smarter and more patient bats in the postseason. Smacking home runs also for Philadelphia is not going to win them a World Series. It'll get them into the postseason. It won't get them a World Series title. Now, I'm going to refer to a tweet tweeted out by Hunter Baumgart, who, by the way, will be on the show next week talking about the Packers and their performance in Soldier Field and also diving into September baseball for the Brewers. All they have to do is win the series. Just like I said, their motto is to win series. They should have won the series against Pittsburgh. Period, plain and simple. No matter what way you slice it, they should have won the series against Pittsburgh, either game one or game three. But they needed to win that series. They had the opportunity to redeem themselves. But I don't think that Brewers fans, including myself, expected the Cubs to sweep the Giants, which to me is a huge blow also to the Giants' playoff berth, because now they're going to have to play the uphill battle. And the Cubs don't have an easy opponent coming up next. They got Arizona next. And if you tell me that the Cubs will sweep the Arizona Diamondbacks, I will say that you are crazy. Teams have gone on long winning streaks before. I just don't see how the Cubs can put together enough good pitching performances to come away with a win, to come away with a sweep over Arizona. Now the Brewers, they go to the Yankees. Now the Yankees, even though that they have struggled mightily, they are still respected as a very good offensive team. But they're an absolute free fall right now. They designated Harrison Bader for assignment earlier this season. They also have they still have Aaron Judge, but and Giancarlo Stanton. That's really it. So the Yankees have been struggling quite a bit, which I think is good, because now it goes to show you that throwing money at everything doesn't necessarily win you World Series. Now, you keep the series wins going. Let's go over some potential playoff opponents for Milwaukee really quickly. Let's say that for the sake of argument, the Brewers end up winning the Central. That would likely lock them into the number three seed. Number three seed opponents are Arizona, Miami, San Francisco, or Cincinnati. I think the Cubs will be locked into the five spot, and I think Philly will be locked into the four spot. If the Brewers are the number five seed, however, they'll probably play Philadelphia, and I think that they would win that series. If they're the number four seed, which means that they would drop out of the divisional race, but they would end up playing, but they would end up having the top wildcard spot, you can include all potential three seed opponents plus the Cubs. So really, it's all up in the air at this point. As of this moment in time, the Brewers are a game and a half up on the Cubs and five up on the Reds. And Cincinnati is taking on Seattle tonight. And the Reds, by the way, have won the first two against Seattle, who are currently in the top spot in the American League West, or towards the top, at least, as we speak. Now, here's the thing. Brewers have got to start playing their best baseball right here, right now. It is possible that they have peaked too early when they were going on that long winning streak in August, when everyone was excited about what was happening. The focus is to win series. If you can't win series, you are not going to make the postseason. And I believe that the Brewers have the potential to win every single series that they have. They've got the Marlins twice, they've got the Yankees, they've got the Cardinals twice, and they got the Cubs to close it out, which the way that the Central is shaping up,
It seems like that the series and the end season will ultimately go down to those final three games against Chicago. Pretty much what it boils down to. Start playing your best baseball, Brewers. You got a pitching staff that can beat anybody in the postseason. Get your hitting to show up when it matters most. That's what it boils down to. We're going to go ahead, take one final break. When we come back, we'll go ahead, quickly go over local sports for the week and also Northwoods Football Conference schedule for week four. You're listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
As the colors start to change in the Northwoods, it's time to schedule your boat winterization, shrink wrap, and storage at Hobbs Service Center. Don't forget to set that date for dock and lift removal by the professionals. Hunting season and fall riding is just around the corner. Make sure your ATV UTV has its seasonal service for fall and winter. While setting those dates, make sure to ask Hobb about the tire specials for all makes and models. Hobbs Service Center, over 35 years of service to the Tomahawk area. Take care of fall the smart way. Call Hobbs Service Center at 360-5086, County Road L, north of Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. That's going to wrap it up for me here today. Thank you once again for having me on as a part of your day here on the Sports Q. Quickly going over Hatchet Sports. As you heard, obviously, Melissa Neiman talk about Hatchet Girls Swim will have their next home dual meet of the season against Great Northern Conference foe Antigo today. That'll begin at 5:30. Hatchet JV2, JV, and Varsity Volleyball squads will have a non-conference match against Marathon tomorrow. That gets underway at 7. We'll have Tomahawk Hatchet football on the air as they open Northwoods Football Conference play against Crandon. Fairmont Orthodontics pregame show at 6:35, kickoff at 7 o'clock. Myself and Matt Turkowitz will be in the broadcast booth on Friday night. And then on Saturday, Tomahawk's varsity volleyball squad will continue their season as they travel down to Merrill for their next invite. Matches begin at 9 o'clock that morning. And the Hatchet Boys and Girls Cross Country teams will travel out west to Menominee for their next invite. That begins at 9:30 on Saturday. Now let's quickly go over the Northwoods Football and Great Northern Conference schedule for the upcoming week here, week four. Again, Tomahawk taking on Crandon at Hatchet Field. That gets underway at 7 o'clock. O'Connell Falls back at home. They're going to be taking on Auburndale, who is now the number 6 team in Division 6 at this moment over in O'Connell Falls. They will play against Tomahawk next week to begin Northwoods Football Conference play. Coleman, after getting upset by Krivitz last week, they'll be taking on Bark River, Harris, Michigan at home. That begins at 7 as well. Krivitz, after knocking off Coleman, will travel out to Clintonville, who got their first win of the season, knocking off Crandon, 33-28. That kickoff is at 7 o'clock. That's for Northwoods Football Conference play. Now the Great Northern Conference. Lakeland is in Medford. Lakeland still looking for their first win of the season. Matchup of undefeated teams and Rhinelander coming up this week. And Rhinelander and Hayward, that gets underway at 7 o'clock. Ashland looking for their first win as they travel down to Mosinee. And lastly, Inigo travels to Merrill to take on the Blue Jays. That begins at 7 o'clock. That's going to wrap it up for me. Thank you very much for tuning into this week's edition of the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook, and until then, have a sportacular day. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.